Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's reading is from Genesis 37, 2 through 4. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, as we gather to hear the words of your inspiration, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock, our redeemer, our creator, and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what did your family look like? I'm talking about brothers and sisters like we did just now. If your family's anything like mine was, it was sort of a mixed bag. I had a sister. I had half-sisters. I had adopted sisters. And then finally, I had half-brothers. Step-brothers, I'm sorry. Yeah, stepbrothers. You may have had brothers, half-brothers, adopted brothers, sisters, or a combination of the both. And if you had brothers and sisters, like I asked the kids, did you all get along? For the most part, when I was growing up, my sisters and I got along. We had our sibling rivalries, like most young kids do in families, but generally we were a pretty happy bunch. We played tricks on each other. I remember one evening we sat down to dinner and it was been warm and I was thirsty, so as we sat down to dinner, I grabbed my glass of milk and took a big swig and knew something was wrong. It wasn't sour. My sister took the salt shaker and decided to spice up my milk. I thought it was mean and nasty and vile, and I ran and spit it out. And I came back all upset, and my mother and my other sisters were just laughing and giggling. I didn't think it was funny then, but now I can really laugh at it. So there are some families where it might be perceived that the parents treat one child better than the other, and we call it being mom or dad's favorite. We might know what I'm talking about if I said mommy or daddy's little girl or little boy or little angel, or if that came from the mouths of siblings, it might be lined with a little bit of sarcasm. Yeah, she's mommy's little angel. Our scripture reading this morning might be a good example of it. And again, we're talking about Genesis 37. Joseph was 17 and tending the flocks. And while he was helping the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, Joseph told their father some unflattering things. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his others because he was born when Jacob was old. Jacob had made him a long robe, and when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of his other brothers, they hated him and couldn't even talk nicely about him. The story of Joseph and his multicolored coat found in Genesis is hailed as a masterpiece of ancient Near Eastern literature by both secular and theological scholars. In the ancient world, people didn't have books, and obviously no radio, no television, no electricity, or things like that. And so they had to tell stories. They entertained themselves by stories. That's where the biblical tradition started, was with storytelling each night, the family passing on the stories to the next generation, having them recite them over and over again until they knew them. You go to a Seder meal, you hear the Jewish story, and if you go to a synagogue in Des Moines, you'll hear the same story at a synagogue in Iowa City or in Dubuque or in Chicago. They tell the exact same story because it's been passed down over the centuries. The stories entertained, but they taught. And they taught morals, they taught values, and they taught faith. And the stories delighted and they inspired. And this is clearly true of Joseph. And I love the way that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wove the music into the story of Joseph. It entertains, it delights, and it teaches. And the story begins with the sibling rivalry and the brothers hating brothers. Jacob had 4 wives and 13 children. Sounds like a reality television show, doesn't it? And he loves one of those brothers more than the other, and he gives him special privileges and even a special multicolored coat, as we saw when we read Genesis 37. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Clearly, Jacob had not read any of the current parenting books that might have been out. The favoritism he showed this one son did not endear him to the others. And I love how Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber capture it in the musical. Here, take a look.
Joseph's mother, she was quite my favorite wife. I never really loved another all my life. Joseph was my joy because he reminded me of her.
Through young Joseph, Jacob lived his youth again. Loved him, praised him, gave him all he could. But then it made the rest feel second best. And even Joseph was the special one, so Jacob bought his son a coat, a multicolored coat to wear.
Joseph's coat was elegant, the cuff was fine.
The tasteful style was the ultimate in design.
And this is why it caught the eye.
A king would stop and stare. Now this coat has got our ghost.
I look smart, I am a walking work of art. Such a dazzling coat of many colors. How I love my coat of many colors.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet.
I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art.
And brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet and fawn and violet and gold and chocolate and mauve and cream and crimson and silver and rose and azure and lemon and russet and gray and purple and white and pink and orange and blue.
So the situation gets a little worse. Joseph begins having dreams about his brothers and that he will rule over them one day. Listen, if you're going to have dreams that you're going to rule over your siblings, let me give you some advice. Don't tell them. Joseph lacked the tact. And he told his brothers and sister that he was going to rule over them. He tattled on his brothers, giving their father a bad report about them. And you can imagine what that did. They already didn't like that he had this gorgeous coat. And it was there and then that the brothers grew to hate him all the more. In fact, they hated him so much that when Joseph came out to join them tending the sheep and the goats, they seized their brother, they stole his coat, and then they sold him to a caravan of Midian slave traders on their way to Egypt. They told Dad that his beloved son was killed by wild animals. Were all the brothers and sisters right? Black and white, rich and poor, male and female, but sometimes we grow to resent each other. I mean, we're all family, yeah, but were there sometimes that you really didn't like your siblings? It happens in families all the time. Many of you have had siblings that have hurt you or whom you have hurt, and sometimes parents contribute to the problem by favoring one child over another. I've known men and women who come to hate their own flesh and blood brothers and sisters. I've preached at funerals where the family gave me explicit instructions not to allow a sibling into the church. I also was given specific instructions not to say something because it wasn't true. The siblings did not believe this about their father. Tough time in the pulpit that day. So when the story was told around the campfires of ancient Israel, part of the point was to encourage siblings to show grace towards their brothers and sisters, and to encourage the parents to be careful about favoring one child over the other. It was a story, as we will see next week when we continue this sermon, inviting forgiveness for wrongs that were past, wrongs of the past. So if God's word to us in this story might be to call for reconciliation with our siblings, I wonder if there are any of us who need to go home from church and maybe just do that. I know I had to go through that process a couple of years ago. to reach out to some long-lost siblings. Part of it was my issue with them, their issue with me, and we've sort of patched things up. Maybe we need to go home and look at our relationships with our kids. Maybe we've done some harm, and we need to do some relation building. And maybe in our world, we need to do some reconciliation among the races. So let's continue with our story of Joseph. Joseph is taken to Egypt, and he had been put into the hands of the Midianites, and the Midianites got rid of him and gave him to the Ishmaelites, and they sell him to an Egyptian named Potiphar. And he was a man identified as the captain of Pharaoh's guards. So the favored son has gone from being the favored son to a slave in a foreign land, where he used to be, where we're used to rags to riches stories, but this is a riches to rags story. So what does Joseph do? Does he curse God? You know, people get down in the dumps and they say, "Why have you done this to me, God?" You ever found yourself in that position, asking that question? Did Joseph ask that question? No. He continued to trust God and decided to make the best of the situation that he was in, serving Potiphar the best he could. And this is a remarkable thing. You know, at times we find ourselves somewhere we didn't intend to be. You know, life is, it's got this thing about dealing disappointments to us, dealing difficult blows to us. And we are slaves under Potiphar rather than reaching for the promised land. And Joseph teaches us that to keep trusting God and to do the right thing and to always look to God. And here is what we read that happened next. The Lord was with Joseph. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful. Potiphar thought highly of Joseph, and Joseph became his assistant. But the story gets even more interesting when in Genesis 39:6 we read, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. Sometime later, his master's wife became attracted to Joseph and said, 'Sleep with me.' And when Joseph rejected her advances, she feels jilted, and in her anger, she tells her husband that Joseph was making advances toward her and tried to force himself upon her." Now, guys, if you found out that somebody was making advances on one of your loved ones, would you get a little upset? Probably so. And Potiphar got angry, and Genesis notes that Joseph's master took him and threw him in jail, the place where the king's prisoners were held. Now, Joseph finds himself in prison for a crime that he didn't commit. And at this point, we can only imagine how low he felt. And Weber and Rice capture it in this scene. Take a look.
Close every door to me, hide all the world from me, bar all the windows and shut out the light. Do what you want with me, hate me laugh at me, darken my daytime, and torture my night. If my life were important, I would ask, will I live or die? But I know the answers lie far from this world. Close every door to me. Keep those I love from me. Children of Israel are never alone, for I know I shall find my own peace of mind, for I have been promised a land of my of my name. Forget all about me and let me decay. I do not matter. I'm only one person, destroy me completely, then throw me away. If my life were I would ask, will I live or die? But I know the answers lie far from this world.
Life is sometimes hard. Sometimes the innocent suffer. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. God doesn't intend such things to happen. I don't believe God made Joseph's brothers hate him or to sell him into slavery. I don't think God intended Potiphar's wife to attempt to seduce Joseph, nor did Joseph put her up to lying and accusing Joseph of rape. I should say, nor did God do that. But suffering and injustice are a part of life. So where is God in the midst of this? And the line, as we see in Scripture up there, while he was in jail, the Lord was with Joseph and remained loyal to him. The jail cell we didn't deserve to be in, God is with us there and remains loyal to us. We've all had our own personal jail cells we've been in, but God has been there with us. In those unfair and difficult circumstances we may find ourselves in, God is there and remains loyal. When life is hard and difficult, part of what Joseph's story was meant to teach is that God will be with us and is always loyal to us. This promise to be with his people is repeated frequently in scriptures. Look back to the promise we find in the book of Matthew, where, drawing from Isaiah, Matthew says of Jesus, "And his name shall be Emmanuel, God is with us." God was with Joseph when his brothers threw him in the cistern, when they sold him into slavery, and when he was thrown by Potiphar into prison. And God will be with each and every one of us in those difficult times we face. One of the ways that God shows up when we're walking through the darkness and blesses and sustains us in our moment of despair is by sending other people to walk beside us. For Joseph, it was his brother Reuben who insisted on saving him from death. It was Potiphar who initially blessed him as a slave, and it was the jailer who elevated Joseph in prison. Joseph reminds us of the ways in which brothers and sisters can hurt one another and offers a call for us to seek to reconcile our families. But it also teaches us that when we go through a season of adversity, suffering, and pain, through the fire or the flood, God is with us there also. And as we continue to trust him, he will be loyal to us. Yet I want us to look at the story of Joseph and apply it to the events that have been plaguing this nation of ours over the last few weeks and months. There's been some very ugly incidents involving a rise in racial tensions and gun violence across our land, some even very close to home. And let's remember those who are our neighbors. We are of one race. We call it the human race, and we all belong to it. But we've got pain between our brothers and our sisters. It's going to require understanding how we're affecting one another, hurting one another, walking in one another's shoes in order to heal this human condition. And as God is with us in the midst of this, no matter what the situation, in the mistreatment, in the bloodshed, in the injustice, and in the car that's pulled over by every officer who's trying just to do their job, let's be reconciled with one another in the darkness. Let's remember God is with us and will see us through it, no matter what the situation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.